It's time for the big questions.
Numero uno.
Seth Payne, is it Nick Caserio or bust for the Houston Texans?
It is for this particular move. I'm going to have a hard time thinking it was a successful move if they don't land Nick Caserio. But it's not Nick Caserio or bust. It's that Brian Gain was probably, like, the most likely thing is that Brian Gain was maybe a replacement level GM. And that maybe over time his patience will really pay off, like from these last two drafts, and he would have been a really good one. But at this point, just because his strategy was a more of a patient long-term one, you can't really say for sure, yeah, he was an awesome GM. So you took a swing at what you thought was a better scenario in Nick Caserio. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. I apologize to everybody. And if it didn't work out, you go out and you find somebody else. You do Monty Austin Ford or somebody else, and so be it. You're back to square one. You're starting over a little bit, and you're out some money. Like, Cal McNair, that impacts Cal and Janice McNair's bottom line, but it doesn't make me fear that, oh no, the Texans are going to be worse off next year because they lost out on Brian Gain this year.
So you and I disagree on this point. For me, it is Nick Caserio or bust. To me, if you're going to fire Brian Gain, and this is the guy who you've wanted for the last 17 months, for me, Cal McNair, and it's really on Cal to get the job done. I think part of it is that I don't think it should be that hard to just hire people in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to pursue NBA free agents, like what Daryl Morey tries to do, or even baseball free agents, but especially in the NBA, you're trying to get Kevin Durant or Chris Bosh or Carmelo Anthony or Chris Paul, whatever, like LeBron James. That's really, really hard to do. You are swimming in the deepest of waters. But when it comes to hiring executives, to me, the Texans didn't have to fire Brian Gain on Friday. That part is really clear. If you're going to fire Brian Gain, to me, you need to know that Nick Caserio is basically wrapped up.
That could be dicier, though.
I know.
Maybe then, because you gotta get him wrapped up and then also get him out of New England. We saw with Josh McDaniels how hard that was to do.
Yes.
Josh McDaniels had accepted the job in Indianapolis and just ran into Bill Belichick on his way out of the building after the season was over, and he got sucked back in. They almost, as soon as they felt like they had Nick Caserio, they needed to get up there in a helicopter, a stealth helicopter,
yep,
with some former Navy SEALs, land in his backyard and abduct him, knock him out B.A. Baracus style and get him back to Houston before you resume negotiations.
I think trying to hire Nick Caserio, the Patriots director of player personnel, away from the Patriots is probably just as hard as beating the Patriots in an actual game,
yeah,
which the Texans haven't done since 2009. Until that clock strikes zero, as we all found out numerous times, it is not over.
It
is not over.
Do you know my B.A. Baracus reference?
That's all right.
What's that?
I did not.
That's all right. That's not like a classic movie or anything. It was from the A-Team. B.A. Baracus was Mr. T. Mr. T was this like swarthy, scary dude, but he was terrified of flying. So now this was pre-concussion protocol, mind you.
Okay.
What they would do to get over his fear of flying is punch him in the face and knock him out every single time. Or they'd drug him, right, Jonesy? But wouldn't they? It seems like they've knocked him out a lot, didn't they? It was like almost like, hey, B.A., look over there. Pow.
They probably wouldn't do that nowadays.
And then a half hour later, he's out making mental calculations and everything.
Numero dos.
Are you comfortable with Jack Easterby's growing influence in the Texans organization? He is their VP of team development.
I feel like I have to be. If I'm over at the Texans, I feel like I have to be pro Jack Easterby or I'm out of my keister.
That's what it seems like.
It's not Patriots South, it's Patriots Southeasterbys. That's what the Houston Texans are now. And you better mold yourself in the image of Jack Easterby or your SOL. You're going to be out in Gainesville. Not Gainesville, Florida. Brian Gain's home.
Brian
and Katie, you're going to be hanging out by the pool with Brian Gain.
Hold on. The Patriots Southeasterbys. That's what we are.
The Patriots Southeasterbys.
I'm not comfortable if Easterby's role is the way John Lopez describes it on SportsRadio610.com. Easterby taking on as powerful a role as the GM, if not more so. But in fairness to the Texans, we don't know that that's actually the case. So I'm gonna reserve judgment on this one. I wanna hear straight from Bill O'Brien today, eventually Cal McNair when he talks, when they hire a new GM. I want to get a more clear sense of what they say about Easterby, plus other reports that come out, for me to give you a final thought on it.
This is, in all seriousness, what I would say is that I'm all for innovation. I'm all for doing things a different way. And I'm all for understanding that when you do that, sometimes you fall flat on your face. So I think this will be a structure that sounds like it might be pretty unique. and maybe that they look at Jack Easterby as a pretty unique individual, then I hope it's revolutionary and it's awesome and it leads them to greatness. But it also might just be the complete opposite. Like, this is a boomer bust proposition. So I like that. I think Cal is doing things in a much more aggressive way and has a different mindset than maybe we've been accustomed for a while. And I think he's more aggressive than people anticipated when he took over.
Número tres.
Seconds remaining. Leonard, back up Van Fleet. Van Fleet kicks it out. Lowry. Lowry for the win. Won't go. And there'll be a game six in Oakland.
And it was a great job of double-teaming Leonard so he couldn't beat him. Andre Iguodala with a terrific defensive play.
Sensational game last night, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. All sorts of storylines on the court, off the court, with Kevin Durant's injury, fear to be a torn Achilles tendon. We'll get the official award later today. The Warriors won. It was won in a shocking style. Big threes late, a 9-2 run. Seth, do you think the Warriors actually have a chance to win the NBA Finals?
They certainly have a chance, but it's going to take... It's kind of like when we used to talk about the Rockets' chances of beating the Warriors before last season, where you'd say, well, it's going to take a deluge of threes. You're going to have to get super streaky. And the Warriors are certainly capable of a deluge of threes. But given the way the Raptors have been able to harass Steph Curry when Kevin Durant's not out there especially, I'd give them a 3% chance of winning this championship. I believe this will be the biggest upset ever, based on opening odds to a series, okay, if the Raptors win.
I guess that wouldn't surprise me based on the opening odds. I think they probably have a better than a 3% chance, but I also think it's over. And I still can't believe the way Toronto lost that game last night. But watching this series, I just think the Warriors are running on fumes here. The best thing that they have going for them, I don't even think, is the fact that they're at home. Like, that's nice and all, but they were handled in Game 3 when they were decimated. And they were beaten up in Game 4 last Friday. The biggest thing they have going for them is 2 days off in between games. Yeah. I think that's the thing that if I were a Warriors fan, I'd hold on to hope for. I think Toronto is going to win the NBA title on Thursday.
I think, Mike, the one big stat that I haven't heard, and I'm sure people have said this, I just didn't hear it last night and I didn't hear it this morning. I was kind of surprised by it. But along the lines of, okay, you're going to have to have a bunch of threes, the Warriors were 47% from three-point last night,
yes,
and the Raptors were 25%. I mean, a lot of it simply came down to, all right, the Warriors hit some of those threes. And they've got the best backcourt of all time. All hail them, all that. But it's just, they're not as good a basketball team.
The Raptors are probably going to hit more of their threes on Thursday, yeah, and the Warriors are probably not going to hit 20 threes in Game 6. So despite what happened last night, and if I were a Raptors fan, the Mike Meltzer version of Raptors fan would be nervous as heck. I think Toronto's winning this
series. Are you a Raptors fan that cheers when people get injured from the opponent's team?
I hope not.
One of the most shocking things I've seen in life, I think, was the way that Drake has corrupted all these otherwise fine, good-natured Canadians.
Is it Drake's fault?
Them into of course it is. It's 100% Drake's fault. Those people were not acting like Canadians. Canadians are supposed to be super friendly and nice and aw shucks. They were like, did you see there was like, they were drooling blood when Kevin Durant was on the floor. They were, and usually I would say, well, look, not everybody was cheering. From a brief survey of the crowd, everybody who wasn't cheering was laughing maniacally. It was like almost unanimous in there. All these Canadians just delighting in Kevin Durant writhing in pain on the floor.
Terrible
look. Astounding. And that's all because of Drake.
Well, the weird thing,
Drake sets a bad example.
The weird thing to me, Seth, was the whole time, even before Durant got hurt, they were booing Durant every time he touched the ball. They were very angry at Durant,
yeah,
specifically.
Right.
But why Durant? Why? What did he do to them?
He represented their biggest fears of not winning the championship.
That so that's
was their
it.
Biggest. Yeah, there was a, like
the
that,
bogeyman
was simply
came out.
Like, okay, this is the guy. Yeah, the bogeyman. Bogeyman.
Bogeyman. Bogeyman. I'm just cunning names here. What do you want from me?
Bogeyman.
Bogeyman. Bogeyman.
All right.
Number 4.
All right. This happened over the weekend, and it's been a little bit snowed under with all the Brian Gain firing news and updates and speculation. The Rockets sent Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, where Mike D'Antoni makes his home in the summer. And they're trying to work on a new deal. They're trying to give him an actual real extension. Seth, if the Rockets give Mike D'Antoni a new deal, is it the right decision?
Yes, it's the right decision, unless they break the bank and give him like a 7-year extension or something. I would imagine that a 1-year extension. I know Tillman Fertitta said that's the standard rolling 2-year deal. I don't know if that's completely accurate, but it's not abnormal or anything. So I'd be completely fine with that. It's like, as an owner in a sports team, you kind of have to accept, just because of precedent and the way it goes, that you've got a sunk cost. Like, you're going to end up paying whichever coach you have, most likely, one extra year at the end of his deal.
Yes.
And you just go into it knowing that. Like, all right, when I fire this guy, he's going to have a year left on his contract, or I'm going to have to buy him out, or whatever it is. It's just the cost of doing business. And I think maybe there was just simply a little bit of sticker shock with Tillman Fertitta with that. So I'm willing to say part of this is just Tillman Fertitta becoming an owner, not giving an insult that could, or not giving an offer that could be perceived as an insult. Like, sometimes if you have, if I don't know you and you lowball me, I'm like, all right, well, whatever. Good job, good effort. But no, you know, like, I'm not going to be offended. If I know you, if you're my pal and you lowball me, then we got an issue.
We got problems.
Then we got to, like, do you think I'm a moron? Do you think I'm a clown? Do you think I'm a fool? Do you think I'm an imbecile? That's the feeling that comes up when somebody you know lowballs you. And I get a sense that maybe there was a little bit of that, but the trip up to West Virginia was exactly the right thing to do to smooth things over. Like, I hope Tillman didn't, like, try to dress up like he thought West Virginians looked and everything. Like,
with especially,
like,
not there.
Like a polyester vest and dirty jeans or something.
I nearly got into a heated argument over this at my favorite sandwich shop down the street here after the show yesterday on this topic. Yes, it's the right decision to give Mike D'Antoni a new deal because, as I was arguing yesterday after the show, I don't see anyone better out there. I'd love to be able to say, hey, get rid of Mike D'Antoni, who I do like. I think Mike's a good coach. But if there was an upgrade out there who could maybe change some things, maybe have higher upside in the playoffs, sure, bring him in. I just don't see who the upside is.
You said the same thing when they were extending McHale instead of signing Steve Kerr.
Did I say that?
I don't know. I don't even remember if it was the same year. I just made that up.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if we actually discussed that topic. So, listen, I'm fine with giving Mike D'Antoni a new deal. I'd also be fine with firing him. I just don't see an obvious upgrade that's available, and that's the spot that the Rockets are in.